time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights! Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's the poster child for no cloning. Paul LaVoy!
Well, believe it or not, it is Sound Advice with Brian Springberg that is taking place this hour. I do not have, speaking of sex symbol, Bare Naked Ladies queued up.
B&L.
I said, Brian said, don't forget it's Brian Springberg, certified financial planner, slash sex symbol. Is that what it was? I thought it was funny. And I thought, where does that come from, CFP?
Yeah.
So I was trying to break down the acronym, and it just didn't work. So, there's a lot to talk about today.
What's going on?
Well, I mean, not to do with Iceland or anything, but U of A. Greenland.
No, sorry. Well, obviously.
I always think of Greenland being Iceland because Greenland's made of ice and Iceland's made of green, right?
Oh, I just thought you were Iceland making fun of the president because he said Iceland instead of Greenland.
Oh, he did?
Three times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Speech.
See, I would have done the same thing. So, no, Iceland is a land mass and
that's
Greenland
funny.
Is an ice mass.
I understand.
Anyway, we have Symphonic Winds tickets.
Funnier.
This is actually, I know, it's pretty funny when you think about it. February 1st, Red, White, and Big Band. I'll give a pair or four. If you need two pair, you want to take your neighbor, subject them to Symphonic Winds. Actually, I just got invited into the band, and I don't read drum music, so that could be kind of weird.
Is there such a thing?
What, drum music? Oh, yeah, for sure.
I know.
Anyway, it's called Made in America, 250 Years of Innovation. Perfect time to do that. Title that theme of show with the I don't know what it's called, but we just call it the USA 250, right? Nobody knows what the long name is. It's not a bicentennial anymore. It's something else,
something bigger than that.
Bisesqua something. Anyway, that is on February 1st, Red, White, and Big Band. You know what, I was reading the one for February 15th. Now if you get these tickets and you can't go on the first, there are dates on the 15th and April 12th, where you can go see them with the same ticket. It's actually pretty cool.
Oh, that's
but you
cool.
have to turn it in, so it's not like you're going to get into all four shows or whatever. They're $10 each, available at SoundBank and online at Eventbrite. And I believe River City Music has them as well. So I've got 10 of those. Call in during the break. I'll announce that when the break comes. U of A, by the way, undefeated still.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, and then they played last night. They beat Cincinnati by 9, I think.
Oh, way more than that.
Oh, it was?
It was pretty tight, and then we just blew their doors off towards the end of that.
We had Brian Jeffries in the broadcast on, right? Mm-hmm. Brian Jeffries has been doing U of A games since I got into radio in 1989. His resume goes all the way back to 1986.
We beat them by 26.
Wow. 1986, Brian Jeffries has been doing their games.
Atta
U of A games. He doesn't look that old on the website. I'm like, wait a minute. Did he start when he was like 19 or something?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're undefeated, still number one in the nation. And, you know, Vandy has lost three in a row. and they were up there with U of A for a while.
For a little, yeah, a little bit. Now, Nebraska, of all teams, undefeated as well, number seven in the country. They're a football school traditionally. So.
Hey, if Indiana can win the national championship in football, anything goes, right?
Yeah,
so,
in fact.
Anyway, it's U of A in West Virginia this Saturday. We'll have that at noon, the tip-off. Against West Virginia, of course, the Mountaineers. And then there's another game. This is actually a really good game that they talked about last night in the postgame. The Houston Cougars at the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Yeah, that'll be that's Doug Gottlieb's school, Texas Tech, by the way. So anyway, and then we've got Championship Sunday. We've got both games starting at noon with the Patriots Broncos and the Rams and Seahawks. The Rams and Seahawks to follow.
Ouch.
That's what I call them. At 4:30, I'm not a Rams fan either by any means. So I'm just kind of like, yeah, you guys fight each other. Do whatever. And then Monday night, U of A versus BYU.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's a great game. That's a big game.
It's in Provo.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be a test.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a big test.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, there's your rundown of the sports on 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. Another thing of note. On KJJJ, tomorrow night, we'll have a remote from Just for Fun Power Sports. 10th anniversary.
Oh, nice.
Public is invited. Now I just invited a bunch of people, right?
Wow.
And Crosscut will be there. Food by Burrito Shack. It's going to be... Dude,
that sounds amazing.
It is going to be amazing. From 5 to 10 tomorrow night at Just for Fun Power Sports on the south side, next to or near Batches. So there you go.
Right.
Man, what's happening on Wall Street?
Well, market continuing to rebound yesterday and today after suffering some fairly serious downturn prior to that, tied directly to President Trump's initial potential military invasion of Greenland, which he said, never mind. And then it went down again because he was threatening to reinstitute very serious tariffs. And then he... the next day rescinded that as well. And so basically the market is where it was prior to it going down quite a bit in 2 days. It's kind of just recovered most of that back since he rescinded both the military invasion and the tariff threats. So we're kind of back to square one as far as market numbers go. Really no change in that regard, meaning that barring these kinds of unforeseen dips, you know, these things are very short term, at least they were. And so barring anything unforeseen, most analysts' expectations, as I mentioned last week, are that the U.S. stock market should have a decent year, all things considered.
This is a really, I don't know how to phrase this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Sure.
Those type of incendiary comments,
mm-hmm.
which what I call them anyway, yeah. People say, no, it's the art of the deal. You should have figured it out by now. Do you think they're market related? I mean, he's a businessman. Are they market related at all to where
what
they can anticipate movement in the market based on comments? Is there a thought in the industry on that?
I'm not clear. Are you saying that...
not saying he's trying to manipulate the market,
okay.
But are there thoughts in the industry that maybe the Trump organization benefits from this type of rhetoric?
Gotcha. I don't know about the day-to-day stuff like that, because obviously most of what he seems to say is very off the cuff, very whimsical.
A little.
So I don't know that there's a lot of thought given to that. Now, in the bigger picture of things, in terms of perceived policy, you know, for sure, as it would under any, you know, administration to some extent. But the day-to-day stuff, that's kind of unique. You know, everybody. But let's face it: if you go back in time, and people would say, "Oh, depending upon what the president says, that could cause shifts in the market."
Right.
Those were typically, though, a little bit more expansive in terms of result, meaning that, hey, we're going to have a certain kind of fiscal or tax-related policy, and those comments could cause some gyration in the market in terms of what's going to be coming. That's a very different animal than, you know, what's going to be said today versus tomorrow versus the next day. But to some extent, it's always been it's becoming a little bit more reactionary. But as I've always advised clients, is that what you have to kind of think about is expand that picture a little bit more, and see where it goes. And the thing that I've been concerned about is what was actually said out loud. I don't know if you watched President Trump's speech and some of the other things going on at Davos.
I heard it.
That's what we're talking
about.
So I watched, you know, definitely, you know, some decent parts of all of it. And the thing that kind of just has me a little bit concerned is the bigger picture of what the Canadian Prime Minister said out loud.
For sure.
Which is what I've been saying for years, is that if you keep picking fights with your historical allies, you know, there's definitely room to be said that President Trump has some points to make relative to their financial responsibility with NATO and other things. The methodology and delivery of those things, whether you agree or disagree, love them or hate them, undoubtedly has caused a lot of negativity globally amongst our allies. And they are rapidly and increasingly trying to figure out new economic and trade solutions that don't really affect our country today, but 3, 5, 10 years from now could prove to be an issue, as they no longer look to the United States as kind of an assumed partner and ally, and not only militarily but economically and trade and all those things. So I kind of wonder, and it's not really anything to wonder anymore. It's actually being verbalized by Canada, Europe, and a lot of the developed nations we have been kind of friendly and traditionally very close allies with for the last 80 years. So those things, I think should give us pause. Not necessarily because we're worried about its effect on the stock market 2026. It's just the overall big picture of how the world works in a globalized world. As robotics and artificial intelligence and technology increases, that only accelerates the interdependence on some levels that the world will have with itself. So to simultaneously isolate while the ability of business to cooperate, there's some questions I think in a lot of people's heads in those directions.
Okay.
And it's not to say that, like I said, there isn't some thought process and causality of why, there's no question of the strategic value of Venezuela and Greenland. Like, that's not up for debate, I don't think. Relative to maybe military, rare mineral resources, all those things. But again, when you do it in a manner that just basically is a might makes right doctrine, meaning do what we say or you will, you're going to get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that will only last so long, like any bully in junior high at some point, that just doesn't work out. And so I don't necessarily question the move strategically for those things, but there are those out there who are like, could we accomplish maybe moving more in those directions without that method? And I know like you were saying, the art of the deal, and the whole world is used to that, right? In other words, when he says he threatens, he's just military and we're gonna whatever, they're like, okay, playbook, there it is, what's really gonna happen here? And so don't confuse the fact that he's just doing this and just to get him where he wants him. Everybody knows that. It's not news. It's just a question of how long it lasts. So I don't mind his thinking relative to incorporating these strategies. I just wonder, I don't think of the United States under his term or under a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. I think about my country.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
I think about the United States and its place in the world for me as I get into retirement and my children and grandchildren, right? That's what I think about. I wish more politicians thought of that too.
Yeah, so many people talk about peace through strength, which was the Reagan doctrine. But I understand his motivation, but it just goes to the next level. It's not peace through bullying.
Right.
That's how I'm thinking.
Well, it's peace through strength against our adversaries.
Yes.
Not peace through strength amongst our allies.
But now I think it's really interesting. Steve and I were talking about it, and I hate to get really political on this, but it does affect world markets that you have countries like Canada, countries like France, that are now lining up with the Chinese and the Russians instead of us.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. What just happened?
Yeah.
Right? So that's my thought.
No, it's not your thought. It's the thought.
The thought,
yeah,
right.
It's like it's what's actually happening. It's not up for debate, everybody. Believe it or not, our historical European allies are like opening the door to China,
yeah.
Which is crazy to say out loud.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay.
We can't work with this guy.
Well, it's more like they're no different.
Or they don't want to pay tariffs.
I think that's what it is. I think it's not one's better, one's worse. It's like, well, they're the same now to some extent.
Mm.
And so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. It is obviously a very sophisticated thing that's happening and what the ramifications could be. For our country and our workers and American companies and American made and don't forget a huge percentage of what we do here is export, right? It's we are the reason why we're forcing everybody to play ball is because we are the world's biggest importer of stuff, right? That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We buy stuff. That's our culture. So they're kind of beholden to us. So what they're doing is saying, well, can we get what's going to happen where we have other relationships where they'll buy our stuff too. So we're not so interdependent. So
gotcha.
It is definitely that way. And it was borne out last year for the first time in a long time. International stock markets averaged, I want to say the European zone was somewhere around 27%. S&P 500 here did about 17.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see where all of this goes. But for now, man, what a nice 3-year run we've had in the stock market. I'm sure most of you listening right now have seen that borne out on your statements. It's just a question of making sure you remain in the right place for now. So let's go out to that first break of the hour.
Got me in the mood, man.
On the way here, this, Pretenders came on, and I'm like, God, I love that band.
Well, I saw...
Talk about a great American rock and roll band.
I think there's a series on Hulu called Pistols, and it implies that Chrissy Hynde was very involved with the formation of and the operation of the Sex Pistols before they came to America.
Yeah.
I just looked it up and it said, yes, Chrissy Hynde was friends with members of the Sex Pistols, working with Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood and having close relationship with Steve Jones and Johnny Rotten, even nearly marrying Johnny Rotten and Sid Vicious for a UK work permit.
So just when you thought she was as cool as it could get,
she's actually
cooler than
she
that.
She almost became Nancy Spungen.
Wow.
Anyway, showcasing deep ties to the band and London's punk scene before she formed the Pretenders. Pretty interesting stuff. And here I just thought she was a kid from Ohio, right?
Yeah, no. She's something way... She's her own thing.
You know, I heard some GDP numbers today. Did you go over those or not?
No.
Okay. We're going to come back with more sound advice with Brian Springberg, certified financial planner. Give us a call if you want to be on the show. Be like Wayne. That's what we say during Brian's hour. 928-854-5687 or text us at 928-727-5566. We don't have it written down because it's in the mind of Paul, right?
The mind
of Paulie. That's what the people say. All right,
cobwebs and all.
Oh, if you want these Symphonic Winds tickets, I'll give you up to 4. It's a live concert series. Again, Red, White, and Big Band is on February 1st. It's a Sunday at the Havasu Performing Arts Center. Give me a call, 928-854-KNTR. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Oh, it's good.
kind of you, how? It's a pity that you bruised my hip, cause I'm the shit. You shouldn't let your manners slip, you're too shit.
Probably my favorite Pretender song right there. I don't know why. I think it's the raw vocal.
Yeah.
And there's no effects on that vocal whatsoever.
Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, but they're one of those bands where you'll say that, and then you'll hear another tune, you go, well, maybe that's not my favorite song.
That's got Sex Pistols so influence
many.
All over it.
So many.
Right there. So, all right. Speak Out, broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with a toy sink, thanks to Wayne Malone. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, and by Just Meats, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse, and A&B Propane. I'm going to duck right out of the music because I have a feeling something's coming up that FCC doesn't like.
Oh, dang.
In that song. You know
gotcha.
What I'm talking about.
Gotcha. I thought you meant your lunch or something.
No. Oh. I can't remember where it is in the song, even though I am looking at the lyrics. So.
Yep.
All right. So where did we want to go next?
Well, you were just bringing up in the break, you know, the gross domestic product, you know, the GDP growth in the third quarter of 2025 was awesome. 4.3% annualized. You know, it's still somehow well below Chinese GDP. It's just crazy how that is.
They thought it was going to be, what, 3.5 or something?
Well, it's an increase off of the second quarter's growth of 3.8, again, annualized. But just so you know, that's a decent growth rate. According to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, it was driven predominantly by three things. Consumer spending, up 3.5%.
Wow.
Exports. And government spending. Yeah.
On military, probably.
Yeah, and we're all like,
Yeah.
Government spending. Awesome. But in the scheme of things, I guess, just if you look at the GDP numbers, those are actually really good numbers and certainly welcome. One of the things that I've been bringing up on the show, and just because it's true, now I've got, this article just came out with some reporting. This is from Moody's Analytics, the Bureau of Economic Affairs and various census data is just what is fueling the stock market and what is fueling the economy, because how are we simultaneously talking about the stock market being phenomenal and just reaching record after record over the last 3 years, and great gross GDP numbers, and all these things. And then we can have like a whole giant conversation about how hard it is for so many people to make ends meet because of the cost of housing, groceries, insurance, cars, you know, fill in the blank.
Insurance is just going crazy.
It's crazy. It's ridiculous. It's tough. How is that possible? Because there would seem to be a disconnect, and that's because there is. And I mentioned it last time. It's called a K-shape, you know, kind of spending or economy, because the graph looks like a K, and that's why. And here's an interesting statistic for you. So I'm looking at a graph from basically 1990 through this last, you know, quarter of 2025. So 35 years. And what it shows is how much of a percentage consumer spending is made up of the top earners in our country and how much as a percentage of consumer spending the bottom earners. And there's a divergence, meaning that it was, you know, if we go back approximately 35 years ago, the top earners, the top 20% of earners in our country made up about 48% or so of the spending. So you could even just call it half, right? So the top 20% spend half the money. Well, that as of this most recent quarter is 59%. And so, and therefore, of course, so the top 20% account for 59% of the spending in our country. The bottom 80% account for 41%. So you would think it might be reversed, or, you know, in a more mid-class society, like a strong middle-class society, it would be much more balanced, right? Mm-hmm. And we all know that that's kind of been a big change in our country. Unfortunately, for decades is kind of how difficult it is increasingly for the middle class comparatively. And so what that means is basically wealthy people are the ones driving the economy. If that were to stop, meaning that there were some kind of an event that caused those with wealth to spend less, stop spending, kind of retrench, if you will, then we would see the economy definitely enter into recession, and the stock market certainly suffer more than likely some very serious declines. So there's two things to consider trying to do. One is, let's make sure that the wealthy continue to be wealthy and keep spending that way, so that in general those things do well. Or two, really make an effort to make sure that basically the middle class, working people who don't necessarily own large companies or didn't inherit large wealth or don't work in a high wage earning professional field, that they start representing a bigger percentage of overall spending, so that it's maybe not quite as concentrated. At any rate, when we think of what we want to look like as a country, I think that this is just an interesting thing to kind of focus on and contemplate, because one of the byproducts of this. Forget politicians, social media, everything. One of the biggest drivers that divides any country on earth for the last several thousand years, mm-hmm, is when there is a divergence of wealth between the population and an increasingly shrinking number of wealthy people. You can look at most societies and, that what was happening when there was a failure on some level, whether it be when we decided to found our country once upon a time, taxation without representation, French Revolution, what the state of was in Rome, and Rome's fall, when the longest standing in history that we had societies. And so it's trying to get us to that place where there's a little bit more equanimity. And what happens is, when you have that divergence, politicians will use that to divide us. But at the end of the day, a lot of the time what's happening is there is a frustration from the more politically wide polarized stances of different sides. In our case, Republicans and Democrats, right? There are a lot of angry people on the right feeling that things are being done in a way by the government that has led them to be unfairly financially and economically affected. And there is a fairly equal amount of people on the left that feels that things that exist in this society are unfair to them. And so you have this polarization. And so, believe it or not, it's actually in many ways economics and socioeconomic levels that the worse this gets between the haves and the have-nots, the more divided we potentially could become, because that just allows politicians to pick, subjects that are more appealing to a more conservative person or to a more liberal-minded person. And it's just
free this, free that, free child care, free transportation, free. I get it. I get why they would say that.
Right, and that's one perspective.
Even if they can't be done,
that's one perspective. Yeah. There's another perspective, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, that looks at it the opposite way, right? Like if you look at what states are most dependent on the federal government, you know, are they red or are they blue, right? By vast majority, yet somehow it gets painted differently politically. Mm-hmm. And so I just submit to you, listeners, what we can do to help the middle class in this country, believe it or not, separate from everything else and all the kind of the divisiveness out there, would go a long way, I think, to bring us back together to a time that we all kind of, you know, may not have agreed, but man, we sure got along a lot better. At any rate, let's let the Pretenders take us out one more time at this next break. We come back, talk a little bit more about investing, maybe a little less big picture, and maybe talk a little bit about what you should be looking to when it comes to your portfolio and your wealth here on Sound Advice on Speak Out.
The name of this song is the name of a show that I used to work on. Talk of the Town.
Talk of the Town.
And right. Laughlin viewers would know it really
when
well.
When she says town, who doesn't try to do that in your car when no one's listening? But it's impossible to replicate her, that voice.
I don't.
I do.
I do love the Pretenders.
Sounds terrible, though.
All right. It's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, certified financial planner. Back with more in a moment. Might even let you know who's going to be on the show next week. If you're nice to me, I just added another guest to Thursday.
Oh, dang. Busy day.
Yeah, we got the Republican Central Committee chair coming in. We're going to talk about the Tina show. That's a benefit for Havasu Community Health Foundation. And then we're going to talk about this, right?
The can't see.
Symphonic Winds.
Oh.
The Red, White, and Big Band from Symphonic Winds. Give me a call if you want tickets. 928-854-5687. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Maybe tomorrow, maybe someday. You've changed. You've changed your place in this world. You've changed.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3, 5, and 7 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned that you're in. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit or protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth, member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in SEER are independent of Osaic Wealth. Working in a little Ohio diner in the video. Saw that video so many times in the early days of MTV. I don't know if you remember that, Brian.
Uh-huh.
Bring it up just a tad. There you go.
Yeah.
So I can hear you.
Chrissy Hyde dressing a waitress up there?
Yeah. I like Chrissy Hyde anyway. The pride of Cleveland, Ohio, right? Springberg Wealth Management, a proud sponsor of Speak Out. Also the chair, Laughlin Ranch by Mojave Community... I did it. I actually did it. Mojave College. All right, Paul, it's Mojave College. No more of the other community work. Samsguns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritas Place, the Lewis Team with Bobby and Julie Lewis, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. And if JJ's listening, sorry, man, it slipped. And I'm sure it slipped on campus a few times, too. So James Jarman, the communications director,
yeah,
part of that branding change. So... anyway, welcome back to the show. Don't forget to buy local, or it is buy local, right?
Oh, that's a good
buy local. Anyway, just kind of a dad joke there.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
I am one.
Yeah, me too.
I am. Hello. Hello, out of business. You know, we could write the whole song.
Ooh, very true.
So you've heard of this, I assume, Paul. President Trump has been proposing a temporary, I don't know why temporary, but a temporary 10% cap on credit card interest rates. Have you read that at all?
Yeah, but I don't know. In theory, I think it's a good idea. I don't know the unintended consequences, though. And I didn't know it was temporary.
Yeah. So it's basically putting a ceiling on what credit card companies can charge you. And, of course, the banking and credit card industry is saying that, the whole country is going to go down in flames and that kind of thing. You know, there's a couple of thoughts.
So instead of 29.9, you're going to pay 19.9. Is that what you're saying?
No, cap of 10.
Oh.
Cap of 10%.
At 10?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it cuts both ways, right? One way is this, is that we would want to become a society without government interference that lives within its means, that doesn't carry credit card interest one month to the next, thereby making what they paid for an item actually cost more because of the financing. And that's okay on big ticket items, obviously a house or a vehicle, but just to get by month to month, it adds up and it becomes very burdensome for people. And so could we look to solve our economic issues as a country without the government interfering with private industry? In other words, people should be, theoretically, we should have a society where people don't rely on credit. Credit cards didn't exist forever, you guys. It's not been that long since the advent of credit cards. And
the
so,
80s, maybe? I
so,
remember.
No, it was certainly earlier than that.
You had Diners Club, you had Master Charge back in the 70s, I remember, but I don't
not
know before
more.
That.
It wasn't just an assumed way of life,
right?
For sure.
Uh-huh.
And so there's that. The other part of me is, well, we do currently live in a society, so maybe that's the thinking behind, let's make it temporary, give people an opportunity to pull themselves together financially over 10 years. And if they can't do it, then you know what? Credit cards charge what you want, but we'll give everybody a little bit of time to try to get those balances paid off. I don't know, but what they're saying is, hey, if you cap it, that's going to cause a huge issue in the stock market because of valuations of J.P. Morgan Chase and everybody who issues a credit card, right? True. But you know what? There's a part of me that's like, suck it, because it's just predatory, man. 30%. Somebody just trying to get by, and they got a hard luck, and you're putting it on a credit card,
especially with college students,
and you never dig your way out of it.
Especially with, you hear so many people call the Ramsey Show in their mid-20s with credit card debt that's just insane. I mean, I could see the student loan debt. I get that.
Yeah.
But credit card debt, too. Yeah. They do. They prey on college students.
100%. And so this is something that I agree. I love this proposal that we put a, 10-year, whatever, temporary cap. Let the stock market suffer. Is this what that's about, or is this about, again, helping us build that middle class, helping those struggling or finding ways to do it? And after a certain amount of time, what you want, because you can't coddle. If people don't have the ability to spend within their means on their own, who is the government to step in and put a cap on things?
But don't you think the banks are going to make it up some other way, like, say, corporate lending? Rates are going to go up a little bit, or somehow they're going to make up
and
that difference.
That's 100% right. It's a great point, and that's their point. Well, if you really want to get the economy to slow to a crawl, if you do that, we're going to make our money elsewhere, and that means we're going to tighten lending standards, or we're going to jack up lending rates and fees and all the things. And so I don't think we just abandon that idea. I think we work with the banks to kind of come to something that's reasonable for the population here.
I think
that's okay.
I think the other thing that would happen is they might raise your limits on what you can charge, because then they can get, you'll be borrowing more money, but paying it back at a lower interest rate. So your Yeah, your limit's going to go up. That's what I think is another unintended consequence.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So the other thing that President Trump has proposed is a ban on institutional investors buying up single-family homes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, it's not prevalent everywhere in the country, but there are certain areas where it is caused a significant issue for housing prices, specifically Atlanta and, Phoenix.
Well, because in Arizona, the law says that they cannot, communities cannot put a moratorium on short-term rentals.
Right.
At all.
State governed.
They're going to prey on those states. Henderson, Nevada, for example, has a moratorium, a total number of short-term rentals that they can have. That's because of the Nevada legislature having that foresight. Mm. But not in Arizona.
Yeah, cities should be able to decide their own.
They should be able to.
For
but,
sure, local control.
Tell Airbnb that.
So, but again, interesting, because this is a second proposal by President Trump, which is counter to free market. Right?
Yeah, it is.
It, you know, the first one is counter to free market. The second one is counter to free market. And we all, you know, personally, again, government interference should be minimized. But at some point, when private industry creates this chasm of economic difficulty for such a huge part of the population that's doing everything right, right? They're working husband, wife, putting in 40 hours a week each or more, and, you know, doing everything right and still kind of floundering. What is it we should be doing societally to make sure that they don't get punished or don't have any upward mobility in that situation? And so I like this. Now, it's not likely to have a huge significant effect nationally in terms of overall numbers, but it would have some effect for sure. And again, in the short term, maybe there's a little bit of a price to pay, because there is, in terms of pricing, house pricing coming down, meaning if you want to buy a house, you love it. If you own a home and your property values decline and you're thinking you might sell it at some point, then you're less thrilled about it, because supply and demand, right? But your property taxes also go down because the valuation goes down. And again, I don't think it's anything remarkable, but I just think it's interesting that, you know, what happened was, you know, for whatever, several weeks, President Trump was saying that, you know, the cost of things being high still was a hoax. And, of course, we all know it's not. And now he's actually actively putting pressure on different lending institutions, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, to buy more bonds to lower the cost of mortgages. Hmm. And he's proposing caps on credit cards. And he's proposing, you know, institutional investors and single-family housing be restricted in some way. So he is actively doing things to try to address the fact that it costs a lot just to try to live a normal life right now. And these two things I applaud. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was surprised and delighted that, you know, he kind of was stepping up and saying, hey, these are things
that are important.
What about
the little guy?
Yeah. I mean, and so I think that those are real things that, you know, can have an effect. As far as what's coming out moving forward, we're going to continue to keep an eye on different reports relative to jobs. Again, almost everything in terms of real economic news and as it directly correlates to the stock market is going to kind of be tied to economic news that dictates they will, they won't, how much and how often lower interest rates.
All right.
That theme has not changed. So with that, come to another end of the show. Have a beautiful weekend. May the non-windy gods smile upon the balloon fest. I think we're good to go tomorrow.
Everything but Saturday afternoon.
So fingers crossed.
But the mornings are going to look pretty good from what I'm seeing.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, everybody get out there, enjoy, and support this great event, the charities it supports. And, of course, like Paul says, shop local, support your local business.
That's right. And Brian's back on Thursday, February 5th.
See you then.
There you
Hear
go.
You then.
I hope you're
Talk
back.
Talk to you then.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Bye. 928-855-9421.
Give Robin a hard time and book some time with Brian. It's sound advice. He'll give you sound advice. All right.
always.
Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. All right, back on Speak Out. Hannity's up next, and Marissa's mom's birthday is today. So is Steve Perry's. Go figure. Oh, Sherry, right? All right.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.